So we've reached that point in God's story of redemption that Jesus, the Messiah, God's Son, is crucified on behalf of sinful people. Now, as with all our topics in this story, there's so much that can be said, and it's important to remember we're not trying to say everything here. This is the big story, the grand overview. And so maybe we'll just hone in on one specific aspect of the death of Jesus and talk about why crucifixion was necessary. I mean, we might ask, couldn't God have determined a more humane way for Jesus to die? Dying by crucifixion was horrific. The torture of being flogged almost to death, then marched to a public place, then nailed to a cross, lifted up naked. It's no common death. It's a gory spectacle that the Romans had perfected. Even the Apostle Paul, I think, would agree. He wrote in Philippians 2:8, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. But as God reveals his plan through the Bible, we start to see why crucifixion was the perfect plan for the sacrifice of Jesus for sinners. And in seeing those reasons, we'll find out it was always God's plan. Regardless of what some folks tell you, the cross was never plan B. There were many reasons we could point to. For example, just go back to lesson 17 in the series. Jesus had to be lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And so we're not going to deal with every reason, but let's deal with a couple of quick ones, and then what I think is really the big one. The first reason Jesus died by crucifixion is that being hanged on a tree was a sign of being cursed. When God gave the law to Moses, he included some details for the death penalty in Israel. This is what he says in Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God gives thee for an inheritance. So those who violated the law in such a way to be executed, their bodies, the Israelites would take and hang them up in order to be displayed. They would hang them on a tree. Now, they were not executed by crucifixion. That hadn't even been thought of yet, but more often it would have been like by stoning. But the body was then hung up publicly until evening, so it was a witness that that person had been cursed. It says, he that is hanged is accursed of God. We see that carried out sometimes symbolically. For example, rebellious Absalom, a son of David, was killed while his long hair was caught in a tree branch, and he was hanging there as a sign of his curse. But then, how appropriate is it that Jesus, who is the son of David, also has his body hanging from a tree? Again, the Apostle Paul points out that connection. He says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Now, another reason for crucifixion as a means of Jesus' sacrifice was that it was shameful. This is a means of execution that's reserved for slaves and for the worst criminals. This is something we often forget about crucifixion, or at least we reduce the impact of it compared to other issues about the cross. But listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Actually, twice. In Hebrews 6:6, he speaks of crucifixion as an open shame. And then in Hebrews 12:2, this is what he says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down in the right hand of the throne of God. Now, what he's saying there is Jesus considered the joy that was set before him and enduring the cross, endured the cross because that joy was worth more to him than the shame associated with the cross. Now just think, if you were writing that, what would you have written about the cross? I think instantly of the physical pain as the greatest agony that he endured, but the Holy Spirit-inspired text points to the shame of it. It's true that crucifixion was a shameful way to die, stripped naked, exposed, mocked and ridiculed by the crowd. There's the faultless Son of God being executed like a common thief. But more importantly, sin is shameful, and Jesus has been made to be sin for us. That is, every shameful sin that I've ever committed, and that is quite a list, was placed on Jesus, so bad that the Father turned away from him. Sin is a shameful thing. As Jesus died for sinners, if we think, well, isn't there a more noble way for this to have happened? Really, that means we don't grasp just how shameful we are. Now, the last reason we'll mention, and I think this is the big one, is the need for Jesus to die by shedding his blood. This is just a massive theme in Scripture. When Adam and Eve, right, all the way back in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, but God wouldn't accept that covering. He covered them with the bloody skins that he removed from an animal sacrifice. Generations later, when the Lord delivers the Israelites from Egyptian bondage, he did so through the Passover sacrifice, saying that only when I see the blood, I will pass over you. As Moses received the law, it included these ceremonial sacrifices for sin, calling for the bloody sacrifice of bulls and goats and lambs and doves. Right? Through the history of Israel, millions of gallons of blood would have been shed. And God explained why, saying in Leviticus 17, verse 11, "The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." The way the writer of Hebrews describes it in Hebrews 9, 22, says, "Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins." Now, Jesus fulfilled this requirement because crucifixion was a bloody process. Right? Blood would have flowed from the cuts on his face from a night of beating, and it would have matted his hair where the crown of thorns had been beaten down into his head. Right? It would have been blood coming from his hands and from his feet where they were nailed into the wood. And it would have been flowing down the wood of the cross from the scourging that he'd received from the soldiers. We should not sanitize that scene in our minds. We also shouldn't fall into the idea that blood sacrifice was some Old Testament idea alone. As New Testament Christians, we're not called to make blood sacrifices, but we're always called to remember the bloody sacrifice of Jesus. So just listen to a few of these verses. In 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 20, it tells us we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul tells the assembly of believers in Ephesus that are meeting together for worship that they're the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And in Romans 5, 9, he says we're justified by his blood and saved from wrath. In Ephesians 2, 13, we were far off, but now we've been brought nigh. We've been brought close by the blood of Christ. 1 John 1, 7 tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. In Revelation 1, 5, we're washed from our sins in his blood. And Revelation 5, 9, we're redeemed to God by his blood. We observe the Lord's Supper as a remembering of the shed blood of the New Testament that's in that cup. So, yeah, it had to be crucifixion. This was not plan B. This was the plan all along. Throughout the Word of God, God revealed his plan that Jesus, the perfect Son of God, would be crucified right? To save us from the curse of sin by being made a curse for us, to suffer the shame of sin on our behalf, and to shed his blood, because without that shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.